Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. And we're going to start things, and Paul Ramo at his usual position, we're going to start things off talking girls golf with Kip Stender. And congratulations, Kip. You got a couple of individuals, but just couldn't quite do it with the team, but still had a great 2 days tournament in Becker, Kip.
Yeah, thanks, Dick. Yeah, the girls, you know, we had a real good season as a team. You know, when you set a goal to do something very, very challenging, to repeat as state champions, it's a very tough goal, and the girls gave it their all. You know, we just happened to have probably one of the best teams, if not the best team in the state, in Dawson Boyd in our section and conference, and you know, we were down 24 strokes after day one in third place in the section. Bold also has a really nice team this year. And, you know, we kind of set a goal, let's catch Bold and see what happens. And they came out really, really hot, you know, shot probably our best nine ever. I haven't looked back at the record books or anything like that. But 160 on the back nine is what we started on hole 10. And I was told at one point that we were tied with Dawson Boyd, and so they handled that pressure really well. They didn't crack, they didn't falter, they stepped up and earned it and took it. So congratulations to them and their coach Swadinsky and Coach Larson with the boys. So good luck to Dawson Boyd in the state, and I'm sure they'll do very well. So our team finished second with a score of 719. Dawson Boyd won it with a 695. Bold was third with a 730, and Community Christian was fourth with an 841. Individual-wise, Lindsay Lunn won the event with a 156. Molly Halverson was second with a 161. Brooke Brecky from Atwater Cosmos Grove City was a 167 in third. Kenna Hendrickson finished fourth with a 168. Alyssa Swadinsky was fifth with a 172. Then we had three girls tied for sixth. Kyler Tomlin from Dawson Boyd, Alyssa Cadillac from Bold, and Peyton Sachs from Lackawanna Valley. So you take the team, and then the next five individual golfers, best scores, qualify for state. So Peyton Sachs and Alyssa Cadillac were the fourth and fifth qualifiers. So Molly Halverson and Peyton qualified for Lackawanna and will be golfing at state on June 10th and 11th, or 11th and 12th. Then finishing ninth and just missing state, Caitlin Kittleson, our senior and captain, gonna miss her a lot. She was a big part of our state championship team last year, and winning the state with her, one of her better rounds there at state. So she'll surely be missed. She shot a 38 on the first nine, which was the back nine to start out the tournament. So that was really, really awesome golf for her, and just couldn't keep it together the whole way through, which is very challenging. I just saw that Nelly Korda won five or six tournaments in a row this year in the U.S. Open for the women. She shot an 80 on the first day, and she was talking about it and just said, well, it's pretty hard when you get a 10 on a par 3, but so it happens, you know. It's just happens to the best of them. And then 10th place, Claire Stratmone, 12th place, Grace Fossick, Kate Alstead finished 23rd, and Carly Kranz was 27th. Both Carly Kranz and Grace Fossick are academic all-staters, so they'll be recognized down at the banquet. Overall, very pleased. A great season for the girls. You know, they can hold their head high, finishing second, coming back and catching Bold and taking second, and you know, ended up beating Bold by 11 strokes. So that was, you know, 25 strokes we gained on them. And right. And so they did well. Dawson is just a really solid team, and is golfing well, and they should do very well down there.
Okay. So now you get a week or so to practice.
Yeah, we'll be, you know, going to Becker. I'm taking the girls down on Monday, and then they'll probably go one more time, and then we'll follow our similar routine on the when we head down Monday before state and practice, just chipping and putting in the greens and the driving range and going to the banquets, and then girls golf in the afternoon this year so they can sleep in a little, and we already talked about the plan and taking the phones and all that, and they were like, well, we don't have to be up until 10 or 11. I said, no, we're still going to get up a little earlier, but they're excited, and we, you know, had a practice last night and went really well and got some things worked out on a couple things, so it'll be a good time, and we'll sure miss bringing the whole team. It's been 5 years in a row, so...
Wow.
That'll be a change.
Yeah, well, time marches on, and I know you have some junior high kids coming up and possibly some elementary kids that are playing golf, so.
Yeah, we'll be competitive for a while, and hopefully always, you know, it's just the numbers. If we can keep getting girls to come out, you know, Dawson's going to be very competitive. They got everybody back next year, so we're just taking it day at a time, get these two girls down to state and see what they can do, and you know, and then retool and get ready for another year.
Okay. Well, we won't have you on next week unless you want to wrap up your season, but your season still is going to be going on for the two girls, so we'll probably wait till after the state tournament is over, but we wish you best of luck, and I know Paul Ramo loves to go to the state golf tournament, so he'll be covering the girls and the boys, so we'll be cheering for you as time goes on there, Kip.
All right, well, thanks, Dick, and then good luck to all the other, you know, the baseball team is still playing, I guess, and
yep.
So good luck to them and all the area teams. You know, the Camden Conference is a tough conference, and it's, you know, it's what I love about it, and you know, when you get better, it makes everybody else better. You know, Dawson and us have made each other better over the years, so.
Okay. That's Skip Stender on Girls Golf. We'll take this break and have a boys golf with Barry Bessonen after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
At Egg Country Farm Credit Services in Madison, they send out best wishes for success to the graduating class. Every yesterday is a memory of dreams. Every tomorrow, a vision of hopes. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll be among the stars. Best of luck from Egg Country Farm Credit Services in Madison.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join Bart Hill and me Saturday at noon from the Irish Yard just outside of Milroy for Section 3A Baseball Semifinals. It's the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks taking on the Lacaparral Valley Eagles. The winner goes to the Section Championship game. That's noon Saturday. The Blackjacks and Eagles right here on Q92. Tune in. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lac Parle Valley golf, boys golf, that is, with head coach Barry Bessonen. Barry, first of all, congratulations. Your son Carson was the medalist at sections, huh?
Yes, he was. Was able to, had a one-shot lead going into the day and ended up winning by five, so he's able to expand on that. Second time he's been section champion in his career.
Okay.
So in four section tournaments he's played in, he has two firsts and two seconds. So he's been at the top of the leaderboard all 4 years he's played,
yeah,
in the first
amazing.
And second slot.
That's what I was going to ask you. What grade did he just finish?
He's a junior right
junior,
now.
Junior, yeah. So his seventh grade year, got second?
Seventh grade, we didn't have a season. That was COVID.
Well, that was COVID his seventh year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So eighth grade, he got second. Ninth grade, he won it. Last year as a sophomore, he got second. And then this year again, he won it. So
you got a couple more years then.
You got one more year left.
One more year left.
One more year left.
Well, we'll hear more about that in a little bit. So, yeah that was great. Section up at Eagle Creek in Wilmer?
Yeah, well, played on Wednesday. Beautiful day. Nicest day we've had, for a meet all spring. No wind, sun shining, warm temperatures. Couldn't ask for a better day. We came into the day in fourth place. We were able to jump ahead. To second place, so we got the runner-up honors.
Where were you?
For that. We were in fourth place. We improved our team score. We were 348 the first day. We shot 342 yesterday. So we were able to jump ahead to second place. We did finish 21 shots behind champion Dawson Boyd. Congratulations to them. They played extremely well. To win the section, we were second at 690. Central Minnesota Christian was third at 695, and Benson was fourth at 717, with those being the only four teams competing in the section finals.
Okay.
So, individually for us, as you mentioned, we had Carson, the section champion, shot a second 75, hit the ball well again,
What is par?
Par 72.
72, okay.
So same situation. Hit the ball well again. Hit two easy birdies on par fives, but again, lamented some missed opportunities. I did see him have a couple good looks at birdie looks that he did miss, and so I think, maybe saving it, making some of those putts for the state tournament.
We're hoping
so. But still, winning the section comfortably. Gavin Carl, played great, and he shot 84. He ended up actually only about four shots. I think he almost played his way into the individual qualifiers. He shot 84. Highlight of Gavin's day, he had two highlights. He had a chip in for par on 17, but his big one, which I was fortunate enough to watch, was when he holed out from approximately 100 yards or so on hole 8 for an eagle 2, hit the shot one hop, hit the stick, and went in the hole.
Oh, wow.
So he knocked one in. It was about 100, 110 yards or so out, and made an eagle. So that was fun to watch, and he was obviously pretty excited about that. And so Gavin had a great day, and he said he just about played his way into the state tournament.
A personal best for him then?
I think it was a personal 18-hole best.
Okay.
What
grade's Gavin in?
Gavin is a junior as well. Gavin ended up taking, he ended up in 13th place, but it was a pretty good bunch there toward between 8th and 13th was mm-hmm. four shots. Well, he tied from, 8th and 13th was four shots. There's a lot of guys bunched in there. Then we had Our next player, just scrolling down the list, Griffin Kranz, came in 19th. He shot 94 yesterday. Had a little bit of a rocky start and rallied, and then at the end he kind of the last couple holes got him a little bit, but still a nice finish for the seventh grader coming in at 19th overall in the section. Grant Bierke had a great day for us as well yesterday. He ended up shooting 89. Came in 23rd place overall. But really responded well, hit the ball really well, watched him hit a number of nice shots. And so, as a freshman, that bodes well for him down mm-hmm. the road. But, nice day for Grant. Noah Arndt had a bit of a tough day yesterday, shot 102. He ended up 27th place. 193 total, but 102 for the tournament. And then Matt Arndt rounded us out, 34th place. He shot 111. I felt bad for Matt. Matt came on our way there. Matt came down a little food poisoning, and he said he ate something, I think, the night before when he was down in Milroy with the baseball team, and it didn't agree with him. And so his round, unfortunately, was kind of marred, but he did not, as he progressively felt worse and looked worse as the round went. I give him tons of credit for going out and giving it a shot and finishing the round, but he was really not feeling well at all.
Well, I had a couple hamburgers in Milroy, and I felt fine.
He must have got one that was. He said he got one that maybe wasn't so good.
That's tough.
It was tough. Yep. You know, and he toughed it out, we all felt bad for him because he was struggling.
Yep.
You know, he just looked weak and chilled and everything, especially as the day went on. That rounded out our team scoring for us, and that kind of puts a wrap on the section tournament for the year.
All right. And once again, Carson, congratulations to Carson on the medalist. What was the second place?
He was 150. Ryan Schrupp from RCW was 155. The individual. So he was second. Evan Mork from Dawson Boyd was third at 158. So there was an 8-shot cushion there. Then Drew Yamlin from Dawson Boyd was fourth with a 160. And Carson Stratmon from Dawson Boyd was fifth with a 164. So obviously Dawson going 3, 4, 5 in the individual was a great catalyst to their winning the tournament by what they did. Yeah. The other individual qualifiers besides Carson and Ryan, the Dawson Boyd players all go into the individual field as well. All six of their team members go into the individual field.
What do they take the top?
It's the top team plus the top five players not on the top
team.
On the team.
Okay.
So basically you have 11 players from the section that will be a part of the individual field, and then of course Dawson Boyd will also be in that team tournament.
Do you have the five individuals?
Yes, it's Carson, it's Ryan Schrupp, Grant Farr from Bold, who went last year, senior from Bold, shot 167, so he went 82-85, so he's in. Charlie Goff, a senior from Benson, went 81-88, so got in with a 169. And the last spot went to Joseph Graves, a freshman from Central Minnesota Christian. He went 83-90 for a 173, which is probably the highest score we've had make that last spot in a number of years. The last few years, it's traditionally been in that anywhere from about that 165 to 168 range. It's been a few years since it's been over 170. I would say it's been 5 years or so. So those are the individual qualifiers that will get to compete along with the Dawson Boyd team at the state tournament.
And then the other Camden Conference golf teams, where did they golf? The Section 3, right?
Section 3 went to Worthington for their
section. Is that where Carson Bow is?
That's where Lakeview, Mineota, Canby were all down there.
Canby qualified, what, 3 or 4 boys?
They had some individuals that qualified. Lakeview on the team.
And
then Canby, I think, had some individual boys that qualified. And I didn't see anything on what happened with the girls. I just know that the boys, they go to Worthington. They go down with the schools that are a little closer to the Iowa border there.
So let's talk about the state golf tournament. Where is it? When is it? And how does it work?
State tournament will be again at Pebble Creek in Becker, which is a phenomenal venue, I think, for the state tournament. I think it's a great place to have an event. Well run. It's a great course. They take good care of you.
I think Dwight Lundeen, the longtime Becker football coach, he kind of runs that.
He's a large part of it, as well as a few others, and of course their staff in the pro shop, at the clubhouse, and the restaurant, and everyone there does a great job of taking care of everyone. And everyone there, you know, everyone, all the players are treated very well, and it's a special event for them. So that will be on June, I think, 11th and 12th. It's a Tuesday and Wednesday.
You guys go up there and practice?
We'll go up and practice. I know they have a kind of an organized practice round where all the teams, all the sections can come in the day before on Monday. We'll go up, I think, one day next week as well and practice. With Carson, this being his fourth trip, he's had a number of times around the course, so he knows his way.
Familiar with it.
And of course, this year the boys will tee off in the morning, so we'll have morning tee times on both Tuesday and Wednesday.
Get up early then.
Yeah, get up early. I think the first day won't be as bad. I think because the individuals, I think if it's traditionally like years past, I think Carson would tee off probably towards the end of the, if not the last group might be pretty close, but I guess, we'll see if they've changed anything. But usually, traditionally, that second day, the teams take the last tee spot. So,
sounds good. I'll be there.
All right.
It's one of my favorite state tournaments to cover is the state golf meet. Like you said, it's well run. It's just a beautiful place.
It's a beautiful place, and like I said, they make the kids feel like it is a special event for all the participants.
Okay. Well, what we want to do, we'll wrap up the season some other Saturday with you after maybe in a couple Saturdays. So
okay.
All right. Thanks, Barry. Appreciate it. Barry Bessonen, head coach of the La Caparra Valley Boys Golf Team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
So Wearable Designs in Appleton congratulates the La Caparra Valley graduating class. Here's to new opportunities open to you with a diploma you hold as proof of diligence, knowledge, and skills. Congratulations. This graduating salute comes to you from So Wearable Designs in Appleton. The 2024 Appleton Summer Concert Series kicks off this Tuesday, June 4th, with the return of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Band at the Riverview Park Bandstand. The music begins at 7 p.m., but come early for a community potluck beginning at 5 o'clock at the park shelter. During the performance, Appleton Area Health will be providing refreshments, so dust off that lawn chair, tell a friend, and come on over to Appleton to the start of a fun season of music and fellowship. Tuesday in Appleton, Summer Concert Series.
KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
An appeal is promised. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. Former President Trump said to be moving ahead after being found guilty on all charges in his New York City hush money trial this week.
Former President Donald Trump promises to appeal, and here's how that will work. He'll have 30 days to do it after his sentencing hearing on July 11th. At Trump Tower, the former president criticized Judge Juan Merchan. He called Merchan a tyrant for imposing a gag order on him and refusing to allow the full testimony of former FEC Commissioner Brad Smith.
We're going to be appealing it on many different things. He wouldn't allow us to have witnesses. He wouldn't allow us to talk. He wouldn't allow us to do anything. The judge was a tyrant.
The deadline for post-trial motions is in under 2 weeks, but Trump's attorneys indicate one of their reasons for appeal is a perception of Mershon's bias.
Fox's Nate Foy. President Biden, meantime, speaking out after former President Trump's conviction.
President Biden has tried not to comment on former President Trump's legal woes to avoid making it seem like he was putting his thumb on the scale. His remarks on Friday marked a shift in that strategy as he told Americans to trust the justice system.
The American principle that no one is above the law was reaffirmed. Donald Trump was given every opportunity to defend himself. It was a state case, not a federal case. And it's reckless, it's dangerous, it's irresponsible for anyone to say this was rigged just because they don't like the verdict.
He didn't take questions, smiling and walking out the room instead after his speech.
And that's Fox's Madeline Rivera in D.C. Special Counsel Jack Smith once again asking a judge overseeing former President Trump's classified documents case in Florida to bar him from making statements that Smith says can be harmful to law enforcement. The judge denying the effort without prejudice earlier in the week, meaning Smith can resubmit it in the future. America's listening to Fox News.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something?
Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course listen to the quiz right now at the quiz.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Bright sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 78. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 57 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance of thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday with daytime highs approaching 82. 81, thunderstorms likely Tuesday. Taking a look at the extended forecast, 77 Wednesday, 75 Thursday, and 77 on Friday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Q92 Country. Currently 63.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Congratulations, area graduates from La Caparo Co-op Oil Company. Your future is bright. For all the times of late-night studies, lack of sleep, and sacrifices of enjoyment, your reward is here. Congratulations to you. This graduation salute comes to you from La Caparo Co-op Oil Company. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join Bart Hill and me Saturday at noon from the Irish Yard just outside of Milroy for Section 3A baseball semifinals. It's the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks taking on the La Caparo Valley Eagles. The winner goes to the section championship game. That's noon Saturday. The Blackjacks and Eagles right here on Q92. Tune in.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning once again, and welcome back to the Culture Show. As we always do in the spring, we started at 8:30, and so we've got the golf coaches done. Now we're talking boys and girls track with John Cherb. And Thursday, you had your subsection meet.
Section meet. Yes.
So go ahead.
Yeah, we were down in Laverne. It was kind of one of those dicey days because you didn't know what you're going to get because we left the high school at 10:45, and I got out to high school about 10:15. Hail, rain, hard rain, everything in high school. You're like going, okay, we're going to drive basically 2 hours on the road, and we're going to fight rain and garbage all the way down there. But it actually turned out very well. They missed a lot of the rain down there. I know we ran through a couple little rain squalls, but and that's it was good. And it's just like, well, I just told the kids on the bus, I said, get over it. I mean, it's why do you think we practice in tough conditions? Why do we practice in the rain? Why, those are things you've got to handle mentally. And then they all got that and understood it. And I think that's, that's one thing I think they've really have understood of why, yes, I may be a tougher coach where I make you go out in the conditions, but you got to handle it mentally. It's so mental with how you compete. So going in down there, we knew it was going to be tough. We kind of said, well, we got about 9 or 10 events. We got potential to qualify for state. Things got to go right. I mean, you've got to do well, and you've got to have really, really, probably run your best marks, but you're in the hunt, which is so good. That's you rather go down there instead of saying, well, I'm hoping to beat one or two people, you don't qualify. See, and that's a lot of they don't realize is like, going, there's a lot of people didn't qualify. And you qualify for the section meet. And getting out of the section meet is even tougher because you're bringing in 16 people each event, but only two get to go to state unless you run a standard, which is not very easy either. So it was good. And like I said, they started down there with the field events. I'm going to probably just run through the running and Elks, and I get to the field. But they started the field at 2, which helped and hurt us a little bit. And I'll explain how I get a couple of field events that kind of affected us a little bit. But starting off in a 400-meter run down there, Tanner Callis was 9th down there. He ran 55.35, which is near his season best, a personal best. I mean, so that was right where you expect him. You kind of want to have that. Tayden Clark was 6th in the 800, 208.45. Just got out a little too hot. Bit off more than he chew and tried going with the horse from Laverne, and just he paid for it, unfortunately. He was scrambling just to hang on. And that's part of the management part of the issue of understanding, yes, I want to run fast, but I've also got to run fast enough not to kill myself. And like I said, he was gassed. That last 100 meters, boy, I think if he could have had a rope to pull or an escalator, he needed to get in. He was struggling that bit. But again, you like the competing part. That's the best part of it. You like that. You aren't afraid and to go out and put yourself on a limb, and that's what you want to see in these kids. Gavin Carl was 4th in the mile. Ran really probably his fastest first 800 of a mile this season. And that's the thing is he put himself in a spot. He changed his tempo because before he's been back and then just trying to reel with a little bit. But now he changed the style. And he went 4:43 and that finished 4th. So, I mean, nothing wrong with that at all. You like that. Now, hopefully we can build for next year where now he is the one that's setting that tempo where he is now running a 4:30, and that's what you kind of look at, but that's part of growing and maturing with it. He also came back in 2 mile, and he was hurting coming back out because he put so much into that mile. He came back in that 2. He still got it out 2 mile. He was the last, the first mile was good, but then you could just see in his stride and everything else, he was struggling a little bit in that last part, and so he ended up finishing 8th at 10:52.87. Again, he laid himself out in the track, and just because I know when the meet was over, he's sitting in there. And he just sat. He didn't move. I looked at Kester and everybody else. I said, I think he's tired. He just sat there. Didn't move in the grass. Just sat there and waited. And just it's like, but that's what you want to see. The 110 hurdles was one of our big events where we thought we really had a really big shot of getting in. And that was James Weber. Now, I've always given James a hard time because he's in the 110 high hurdles. He's not the tallest of kids. And that's always very, very tough for that race to be in that. But, boy, that kid came up and ran stellar all the way through the race. And we knew it was going to be about 4 kids fighting for 2 spots. And so you just didn't know who was going to be able to be in that 4. And there was a Redwood kid, the Monty kid, the Morris kid, and then also him. And he saw 3 of them at the subsection meeting. He finished 3rd. So you know how sound that is. great all the way through. I don't really think he really even hit a hurdle that if he did hit it, very nicked it very little. He ended up nudging, getting second out of it. The kid from Redwood ran well, was a solid tenth of a second in front. But James was second overall, and it was really close on that. Which and I forgot to mention, you know, he also did break the school record. So, and that's been sitting for a long time. I want to say, God, that's back 95 record. And now I can't think of his name now, but I'll think of it in a second. But he broke the school record in the 110 hurdle. So that's a great way. He went 15.13 to get second. Riley Borman was 15th at 1989. And also, just to mention, too, the four we talked about being in there, all four got in. The two kids that finished third and fourth finished standard.
Oh, standard.
So they got in standard. So that makes it was good their way because there was that fight in there. Because I think James ended up beating the kid from Morris, who was third. I think he beat him by 0.07 of a second. So that's how big that wall. I mean, it wasn't a lot of space. It was boom, boom, boom. 300 hurdles was James's second one. Comparing the two hurdles race, that was his best race of it. And that's the one he was sitting number one coming in. The 300 hurdles, he just does so well. He is so fast in the middle, and he's able to get through them. And he had a great spot in lead. He got through. I was standing with about 150 meters to go of the race, and he just was flying. And he got all the way through, and it's like going, getting hurdles, and he was as fast as I've seen him getting through. And then thinking, okay, you got two hurdles to go, looks really good, got over that one, got one set of hurdles, and he hit the last hurdle. He went down. Luckily, he had enough momentum. He carried himself. He landed on the line, scuffed himself up a little bit in the face and the arms up. Got a little bit of rash on him, but he still ended up winning. I think he won it by 1/10 of a second, 2/10. So I mean, he had a bigger lead than what it shows. So he would have broke even the 40 second barrier. He won it with a time of 40.03, and he would have been 39.5 right now. That's really fast, and just outstanding to see him going through and hang on to that one. And so he ended up breaking the school record in the 300 hurdles. Also, Mike Jacobs is the boy that he clipped, and so he controls both of those. And then Joseph Felton, I want to say that's Joseph's fastest time he's ever ran the hurdles. He really had a great day for us also. He finished 14th at 46.90, and I want to say that's right at his personal best right there. So you got to like how he finished. 4x1 boys were 10th overall, 48.32, and that was Dave Torgerson, Mason Bothan, Noah Meyer, Tygan Allpress. These four really have come along. We really have got the handoffs better. We've done a lot of tweaking, trying to get things, try to change to get a tenth of a second here, and I think they've really have expanded on it. The nice thing is they're all underclassmen. Hopefully they'll get faster for next year. If you look at Meyer, snuck in a little bit last year on Alpha, but he's been a full-time. He's not no small boy either. He's a big boy, and he can roll through there. And then also, again, with Mason Bothan, a new kid that came out this year, first time as a ninth grader to be on this team. So, I mean, we've got a lot of potential there. If we can keep working on it, we'll be better, and that's a great experience for them. 4x4 was kind of our one that we had to run well. The one thing I really like is about these guys, especially our two upperclassmen, Brayson, who is big-time jumper, he's willing to jump in, sacrifice everything else to run a 4x4. He had done a 4x4 all year. He'd been doing some 200s for us and stuff like that, and having James Weber. Those two guys, I mean, that's where these other kids have gotten to understand a little bit. These two are sacrificing so much to put together, take one more shot of trying to get more guys into state. And there's other kids that don't quite get that yet. And that's part of doing it. And I really can't ask for much more what those two. And those two guys ran really, really well. Unfortunately, everybody else ran really, really well too. And we're just not quite that level. But we end up finishing fourth. That was Tanner Callis, Tayden Clark, Brayson Boyk, and James Weber. And that was 333.26. So, again, that's our best of the season. Can't ask much more. Yeah, we going in, we knew we had a cut here, another mark. But, again, it's very tough. I think Brayson and James' splits were 51 flat or right under that 51. That's two solid marks. So, it's that whole thing. But you just love the way they stepped in and said, hey, let's see if we can get one more in. And, Brayson was done, James was done, everything else. because, you know, James has been doing it all year, and Brace, and I asked him at the conference meet, I said, are you willing to go into the 4x4? He goes, I'm willing to go. If we can get one more team into that state meet, I will do that. And that's what you got to like. And plus, also being James a senior, he's been around James enough years, too, and he'd like to see the senior get one more event in, too. 4x8 ran really, really well. Going in, we were kind of seated about 8th going in, 7th, 8th, so you didn't know. We ended up finishing 5th, which I was very happy with that. And they went 9.02.59, just some great legs in there. Tayden Clark, Cade Solom, Joseph Felton, and Tanner Callis. I think that was probably Felton's first time breaking 220 and 800 this year. He finally, someone goes, God, he looked tough the last 200 meters. Well, he ran so hard the first 600 meters to get to that last two, and that's what you love to see. High jump, Brayson Boyk won the high jump, 6'4". Had one little miss at 6'2 on his first attempt, but then was solid 6'4". Because they moved it up a little quicker. Eli Hagelin was kind of our outside. He's jump standard, but again, it's a one-time deal, and you don't know with weather and everything else. And the weather, again, wasn't the greatest. That wind was out of the south, so it affected a little. I know his first mark, I think he was at 5'8". Probably one of the worst high jumps he's done all year. He took out the standard. He took out the bar, and lucky he didn't get hurt. And then I think he moved his step back about 2 feet just because the wind was affecting him. And he just got, but then next one he was solid and just he got through. And just unfortunately he came up a little short there. He finished 6th at 6 foot. Now if he would have cleared that 6 foot, then he'd been jumped for standard. So again, that's what we had hoped. Long jump, Brayson won the long jump. 22 feet 1.5. Eli Hagelin was 11th at 19 feet 2. Just missed making the finals. I think he missed it by about 2 inches. Triple jump, Brayson Boyk won it 44 feet 4 inches. He is just nipping at Brett Dale's school record. Earlier in the year, he was a half an inch behind him. Now he's an inch behind him. So he is just tickling. So I told him afterwards, I said, you're probably going to go about 45-2, and you're just going to hammer the mark. You're going to keep nicking, and all of a sudden you're just going to blow it out of the water. And he's got another shot at it, and that's the good thing. And then Eli Hagelin had a personal best there. He ended up going 41.4 1/4, and that is, again, that's his mark also. One of his best marks he's had too. So again, you gotta like the way those guys have really competed and went after. And just to see what you've got. In the 400 meter run for girls, now we'll jump to the girls. 400 meter, Addie Tufto has been really. She got hit by pneumonia really bad. She was out for 2 weeks, couldn't breathe, and she'd been fighting to get back. And you could tell she'd been fighting that all season, but she went through it and she finished 16th. Nothing fancy. 107.50, trying to get her back into that. Bryn Gleggy ended up finishing 4th, and she ran the slow heat. Little 7th grader just has really come on. She ran a very, very smart race. I didn't want her to go out hammering it too hard early. She just went out with a girl, sat, and then with about 300 meters ago, took the lead and just hammered it home. And she ran her personal best at 229.46. Chloe Gleggy was 4th in the mile. She was at 546.22. Just ran a very smart race. She got caught in no man's land. There was 3 girls out in front, and then there's the rest of them all behind her. So she really had no one really to feed off of. So she was kind of in no man's land, but she did a really good job in that. Chloe Gleggy also came back in the 2 miles. She was 8th, 12:56. That's the first time she's broken 13 minutes this year. Just, again, you could tell she was gassed from that mile. But, again, that's what you're kind of putting yourself in. 4x1. We had to do some changes in the 4x1 just because of we wanted to allow Hasta the chance to be fresh for that high jump in the hurdles. So we held her out of there. So we ended up changing that. So we took her out, and Atiana Speck jumped in for her. Just ran it. Again, I thought Atiana handled it very well. She's been a really good sprinter for us. She's gotten into the utility mark. She ended up, we went 15th at 55.88. That was Ayana, Bailey, Sadie, and Hannah. 4x2 had an issue with the stick, and that was, we ran well through our first 3 legs, and then we had a replacement in our second replacement in our anchor, and just got off on her steps and paid for it. We ended up not running very well in there. They ended up placing us, but we were outside the zone. They must have missed it on that, but we were outside the zone, and they had us at 156.12. The 4x4 was our other shot on the girls, and they've been running really well at the end. Just unfortunately, there was 3 solid teams, and only 2 was going to go on unless you run standard. We end finishing 3rd. 4-13.56. That was Poost, Micaiah Poost, Brindlage to Taylor Wood to Addie Tufto. And they were in it all the way, and that's all you can ask. 4x8, they ran their season best. They went 10:41.20, and they were fourth. That was Brindlage, Micaiah Poost, Harper Grunholtz, and Taylor Wood. And that's Harper really fine. She'd been struggling all year mentally with it, and she just finally snapped one off, and you got to like the way she finished. She had a lot bigger smile on her face at the end to just do that, and that's what you want to see. Shot put was our one that we thought on the girls' side also had a chance. And Haley hit a big one. She ended up doing her best, and I think Paul said it was on their first toss or second toss, and went big. And she ended up getting second. She went 35-8 to finish second. She was in first for most of the prelims, and then until the second toss in the finals, and then she went back to second. But just a really great kid. You know, she's come a long ways in 2 years of owning. Last year was her first year off her track, so that's come a long ways, and Paul's done a really good job with getting her there. Came back in the discus, just a little off in the disc. She was probably the adrenaline rush of getting the state. Now to come down, I think she was just didn't have that sharpness to her, and she ended up finishing 11th, 89 feet one. Ayanna Hasted was in the high jump, and that was the one we thought we could have that. The bad thing is with that high jump is she got caught in the hurdles. The hurdles ended up coming too close, so she ended up running hurdles, which I missed. She got done with the hurdles, and she had to come back and jump. Legs were just dead, and that's the bad thing. Because Ayanna placed fifth in the hurdles at 17.70, and that's her best in the hurdles. So she handled it. It just, unfortunately, was bad timing, and couldn't do anything about it. She ended up fifth at 4'9". If she clears 4'11", she's probably going to state. That's how close it was, and unfortunate. And then triple jump, and Alexis Olson was in the triple jump, and she finished 14th at 28'9¼", and she's come a long ways. We've been fighting shin splints with her. We've been backing her down a little bit, so have it. Boys team finished fourth, which we were only 7.5 points out of first. So that's a very good mark for us for the team to score well. And the girls were seventh. And so I thought we were very, very pleased with a lot of our marks, and the kids handled it very well. So just a really good day. You know, yes, we didn't get everything we wanted, but you can't get everything you want, but you like the way the kids competed.
Good. Next up for you.
Next up is a state meet. Yep. That's going to be the fun one. We're going to go down Wednesday so we can get some practice on the track, get a feel of the facility. James will run the hurdles on Thursday down. He'll have prelims of the 110s and the 300s to qualify, hopefully for Friday. Then also, Haley won't throw shot put until Friday, and Brayson will triple jump on Thursday. So we'll compete a little bit on Thursday, then compete more on that Friday part. And then 3:30 start, they down at Benilde's, let's see, at St. Michael Albertville at the high school there. So they'll run us. Class A will go Thursday afternoon at 3:30. They'll start field and running, and then they'll also come back at Friday at the same time. So we'll be interesting down there. And that's always the fun part of going, the chance to complete your season.
Well, make sure you or one of your coaches or one of the parents call back to the radio station and let us know how things are going.
And you will be able to get live numbers off. Ooh. If you go to, I think it's Wyzetta Timing will have it. If you go to Wyzetta Timing, they will, if Brayson runs through his first attempt at triple jump with the first mark, within probably 1 minute after he hits the stand, they measure it, it'll be on the internet. So you'll be able to pull that. So you'll be able to pull some live action off all that as it's going.
Okay. And when you call back results, won't you have Paul or who's ever working the station repeat that website. So
okay. Yeah. Yep. I can do that. So
okay.
But you know, the coaches, I'm blessed with a lot of good coaches, and we worked really, really well together to get them all through to have a very, very good meet.
Well, it's a team effort.
Yep.
For sure.
And that's what we talked about earlier with our kids. It's team, and that's what you do.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck. Congratulations on getting all those kids in, but best of luck next week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. We'll take this break and be talking baseball with Darby Biergon after this.
It's gonna get hot today. Grab a ice cold sun drop and show us how you drop it.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
And drop it.
Because I got it going on.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
A first quench in citrus soda just dropped coast to coast. Sun Drop.
That's how you drop it.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Sun Drop, distributed by Madison Bottling, Madison, Minnesota. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Karen and Cheryl at the Madison Beauty Salon send out best wishes for success to all of the graduates. Graduation is a time of new beginnings, and at the Madison Beauty Salon, they hope all your beginnings are great ones for you, and the endings are even better. Some of the graduates this year at Lac Parle Valley High School include Thomas Mitchell, Caden Molden, Caden Mortensen, Keaton Peters, Peyton Rademacher, Jonathan Redepenning, and Kaylee Rios. To you and your fellow classmates, best of luck in the future. Congratulations from Cheryl and Karen at the Madison Beauty Salon, downtown Madison, Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk to a happy head coach of the Lac Parle Valley baseball team, Darby Bjergon. You're happy, right, Darby?
Oh, absolutely, Paul. Yep, for sure we are.
You had a tremendous week in baseball for the Eagles.
Yeah, right. Yep, we started off last Saturday with Section 3A baseball, and then we had three games since last time I talked to you.
That's right. Well, a lot to talk about. Tell us all about it, Darby.
Sure. Yep, I'll start with last Saturday. We hosted three games. It was us against Central Minnesota Christian. Then the second game was Renville County West versus McRae, and then we ended up playing McRae in the nightcap at 3:30 or so. We ended up beating Central in the first game. That was the win-or-go-home game, single elimination to start the tournament off. We ended up winning that game 4-0. We scored two in the third, one in the fifth, and one in the sixth. Brock Bjerknield started on the mound with us. He threw a very, very good game. He threw seven innings. He gave up only one hit, no runs, no earned, walked two, and he struck out 11. So Brock came out aggressive on the mound and really set the tone for us with pitching. So hitting-wise, Dylan Geiser was 1-for-3 with a run. It was a double. He got us going in the third with that double. Caden Mortensen was 1-for-3 with two runs. And TJ Mitchell was 1-for-3 with a run. And then Braden Danzeason, I can't go without mentioning Braden Danzeason on this weekend because it was a big weekend for him. Even though he didn't see many plate appearances, each time he was up, he had a hit with an RBI. So he had his first pitch hit situation against CMCS, and he put up another insurance run for us in the sixth inning. So that's a spot that Braden's been put in many times this year, and he has been successful. I'd have to go back through the book, but I can't think of a time where he did not come up with a hit in a pinch hit situation. So he's kind of a guru at that, and he's really got a good niche for the pinch hit situation.
Good.
Yeah. So super happy for Braden and all that. We first game, I think the nerves were in the kids a little bit. We had five hits on the day, three walks and six strikeouts. So it was a win's a win. We'll take any win we can get in section, baseball. So we started off, we got out of that single elimination, and we ended up playing the winner of McRae RCW, which ended up being McRae. They went extra innings with RCW. So in that game, we had Dylan Geiser on the mound. Dylan threw seven innings. He gave up six hits, three runs, two earned, two walks, and he struck out six. And it was kind of a dogfight for us there most of the way because McRae put up one run in the first. We backed it up with one in the first for ourselves, and we got one more in the second. McRae put up two in the third. We put up one in the fourth, and then we scored three more in the sixth to win the game 6-3. So Super, super important game for us to stay in the winner's side. Dylan Kimek scored a run for us in that game. Caden Molden scored a run for us in that game. He got on, he had a walk and scored via that way. TJ Mitchell had a very big day for us. He was 2 for 2 and scored 3 runs and had an RBI. And Gavin Meyer saw some playing time. He went in and ran and scored a run. And then again, Braden Danzeisen in the sixth inning came up with runners in scoring position and hit a fly ball to left in a pinch hit situation, and scoring a run for us to get us up 1 at that point, I believe it was. So big day for Braden. It was a double actually that he hit in that game. So just I can't speak enough for that tough situation that we asked him to go into, and he thrives in that situation. So that put us in the winner's bracket to face the number one seed. We cross over after the first two games from the South, and that was Murray County Central, and we played them on Tuesday night down at Irish Field. And if you listen to the game, I'm sure Bart and Paul were talking about how nice of a field that was. Boy, is that an amazing spot to watch a game.
It's like the Field of Dreams.
It is something else.
It's amazing. You have to see it. You almost can't explain it. It's out in the middle of a cornfield, and just like in the Field of Dreams movie, you got to get there by gravel road.
Yep, it is. And I know they had the people from the Minnesota Twins come out and work with them on the grounds and the grass and the mound and everything. So I know we have an excellent field here in Madison, and Bart was in awe down in the Irish Field. So it was
He asked the groundskeeper a lot of questions on Tuesday.
Yep. That was a good thing.
I believe some of their seats too. They came from the Baltimore Orioles stadium when they switched over to seats or something like that.
Okay, very well could have. I did not know that.
Yep, they did. That's what Bob Dolan told me.
Okay.
Jumped in a semi with a friend and drove to Baltimore and got some seats and brought them back. So, what's really impressive, cool though, Darby, is the Jumbotron out there in right field.
Yeah.
The video screen.
Yep, that was kind of fun to see that. You don't see that very often in our rural area, so that was fun to see that.
And
at a baseball stadium, anyways.
That's right. And it was good to you, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was a wonderful game for us. I think it was unexpected from a lot of people, but, you know, the boys were loose all week, and we practiced a lot of hitting drills and stuff, and we just talked about how it's a game. It's a baseball game. Go and enjoy it. We went to graduations and saw all these pictures of them playing in their youth and just said, play like that. Play like you were in fifth and sixth grade, but play discipline. Play the way that we've been working on, and that's exactly what they came out and did. So we ended up winning the game 16-5. We put up 11 hits on the night. So we put the pressure on early. We scored 5 runs in the second, then we put 6 runs up on the fourth, 3 in the sixth, and 2 in the seventh. So they scored their first 3 runs in the fourth, and then they put 2 more up in the sixth, and ended up being a 16-5 game. Starting on the mound for us that night was Davis Pastor. He threw 4 1/3 innings. He gave up 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned. He walked 4 and struck out 5. And then Caden Mortensen finished it off. He pitched 2 2/3, 2 hits, 2 runs. They were not earned. 1 walk, and he struck out 4. So we were super excited to be in the position we were, because we still knew we had Dave and Caden Mortensen ready to throw on the mound. And we still had another arm. We had Matt Arndt still sitting there and a few others ready to throw if we needed them. So we were pretty excited that on Saturday, the Saturday before, we only used 2 pitchers. So we had plenty of arms left to go. Hitting for us, Dylan Geiser was 2 for 4 with 2 runs and 3 RBI. So a big night for Dylan. He also walked twice. Caden Mortensen was 2 for 5 with a run and an RBI and a walk. Davis Patzer was 1 for 4 with a run, and he had several stolen bases in that game. I don't have the stats right here. I want to say he had 3, including I think he took home on a situation. Caden Molden was 1 for 3 with 2 runs and an RBI and 2 walks. TJ Mitchell was 2 for 5 with a run and 2 RBIs. Landon Weber was 1 for 2 with an RBI. And Peyton Rademacher was 1 for 3 with 3 runs and 2 RBIs. Cale Benson also went 1 for 2 with 2 runs and an RBI, and he was an early RBI in the game that helped us out a lot. Cale also walked in that situation. So we ended up with 11 hits on the day and 11 RBIs. So the guys put it in play in critical situations, and after the game, our coaching staff just couldn't stop talking about how disciplined we were on the bases and how well we ran the bases. So we were really pumped after that game, and we hope to take this momentum moving forward, coming up against Dawson to get to the section championship game.
That's right. You keep in the winner's bracket, it makes it a lot easier.
It sure does. It sure does. It's fun to be in this position.
That's right. Yeah, that was a great win for you. Great game. Great crowd. Lockerbaugh crowd was there in numbers. It was just fun to watch.
Yeah, yep. I can't speak enough to how fun it was to hear a big hit, and you could just hear the roar of the crowd. And we hope to bring more. Come on down if you got something that's going on. Drop it. Come in and cheer on these guys that have been working hard for Lockerbaugh Valley.
That's right. And the game starts at noon today. And tell our listeners what the situation is, Darby. There.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. So noon today against Dawson Boyd. They are also undefeated in section play. The winner of our game will automatically be in the section championship. The loser of the game will face the winner of the loser's brackets, the people coming back. So, and whoever wins today, whether it be Dawson or ourselves, is kind of in the driver's seat because somebody would have to beat that team twice to get to the state championship.
In the section championship game, yep, yep.
Yep,
talk
correct.
About the Dawson team, you know them quite well, don't you?
Well, we've seen them once this year, and we saw them once last year. So we know that they've got good arms. We know they're aggressive at the plate, and they're fast. So Darren and I were just at a conference meeting last night, and we're both really excited about this game. And I told him I was coming over to scout him and what time they were going to have practice. He kind of chuckled and gave the same thing back. So, yeah, we're both, you know, close rivalry like this. And in a section championship, or to get to the section championship game is going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm anticipating a huge crowd. Blackjacks bring the fans, and the Eagles bring the fans.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't that be great if we, you know, to have a huge showing there from the north, and then have both crowds really excited and a lot of noise going on.
That's right. Well, Bart and I will be on air about 11:45 with the Subway pregame show here in a little over an hour, hour and a half, and looking forward to the game. Should be a lot of fun, Darby.
Sounds good, Paul. Thanks for covering us. We really appreciate it throughout the year.
All right. That's Darby Beargon, head coach of the Lockerbaugh Valley Eagles. We'll take a break, and Dick will be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
What started from mechanics at Drips Automotive has grown into the Heartland Motor Company you know today. As a third-generation business, we make it our goal to give you the hometown service experience you'd expect. We'll pick up and drop off your vehicle at work, or you can enjoy a cup of coffee in our comfortable lounge while you wait. We want to make your service appointment as comfortable and convenient for you as possible. We learn from humble beginnings. That's what hometown means. Schedule your service appointment online at heartlandmotor.com.
Together, let's drive at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Trust Carrie Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Carrie Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
With so many variables and unknowns, we all know farming can be stressful at times. But there's one thing that never changes: good quality and professional service we provide here at Myers Electric and Infrared. One thing you don't need to worry about is getting your electrical project done right and on time. We currently have slots available in our schedule for the year, so call 320-289-8115 to book your spot now. Myers Electric would like to wish all the area farmers a safe and successful planting season.
Soybean farmers feed more than just humans. Rest assured, the meat you eat is fed quality soybean meal, which is high in protein and energy. 48% of soybean meal is fed to poultry, 26% to swine, and 12% to beef. Animal feed is just one use that demonstrates the versatility of soybeans, and checkoff dollars help find even more ways to put soybeans to use. This message is brought to you by the Lockerbaugh County Corn and Soybean Growers and the Soybean Checkoff.
And we're back with the Coach's Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lockerbaugh Valley Softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. And good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Can't wait for the baseball game this afternoon in Milroy. It's going to be a good one with the Eagles and the Blackjacks.
Yeah, we were able to get down the other night to watch the end of their MCC game, and what a beautiful yard and what a show they put on.
Yeah, they came around and they hit the ball well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the girls saw it. Yeah. What's that?
They hit it well. They ran the bases well, and yeah, it just looked very solid. Threw it well, so very nice.
All right, busy week for the softball team this week, hasn't it, Ben?
Yeah. Yep. It was always planned, of course, but we definitely came in fighting, and I wasn't really sure how this season would go, and honestly, the girls. Not that I didn't believe in them, because I did, but they definitely surpassed my expectations, and that's a credit to their work ethic and their commitment and dedication, and I just couldn't be any prouder of how they finished.
Yep, they did. They really came together well at the right time, really, and they played really well.
Yeah, they really had an outstanding season.
That's for sure. Well, it started with section play, last Saturday, was it?
Paul, I don't even know.
Yeah, the days get mixed up all together, don't they?
Yeah. I'm not even sure what day tomorrow is, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, let's talk about that first section game then.
Yeah, so we locked horns with RTR, who is they're a power horse. You know, I mean, they've got the by far the best pitcher in the area, and the best catcher. I mean, they're just in those two positions absolutely dynamic, and she just proved to be too much for us. She struck us out. Alderson struck us out 16 times and only had one walk. We did get two hits off of her. Jalen Lee ended up with a hit, and Callie Kahn ended up with a hit. Brandy Meyer did have a what I would maybe consider a triple. It didn't get recorded. I mean, just hit it to the gap, and a girl hit off her glove, and she didn't make it. And that was our one scoring opportunity that we really had. Otherwise,
I marked it down as a triple.
Yeah, that a boy. That's what we like to hear. I'll have to give Ryan Lee a hard time for giving us the doubt in our book. But that was the one scoring opportunity we have, and we just weren't able to execute it. And like I said, this Alderson, she's tougher than nails. So we ended up losing that game 4-0. Maya pitched. She threw all seven innings, gave up six hits, four runs. None of them were earned. Had seven strikeouts and four walks. And with the four walks, you know, we did kind of go in with the game plan of trying to pitch around their top hitters, and we did that, kind of. Bartman is their leadoff hitter, and she's got 13 home runs on the season. So we really wanted to avoid that. The wind helped us. It was blowing in strong, so we tried to use that in our favor. But when she gets on base, Alderson is their pitcher, and she's a great hitter as well. So we ended up walking her three times. And that was part of the plan, and really worked out fine. It's just that we got to find ways to generate runs against such a dynamic pitcher. So we didn't help ourselves defensively. We had five errors, and that's kind of the tail of the end of the season here is just defensively we have to figure out a way to get better. So that put us in the loser's bracket, and we headed in then we had a game off and then played against BBE, and they're a much improved team. They're the two seed in the north this year. Val started the game for us, had a solid three innings, just got us in and out. Fourth inning, started to get hit a little bit, gave up three hits, five runs, two of them were earned. Again, we our defense just didn't help us out there, didn't help her out. We had four errors in the game. Val had one strikeout and one walk, and we in the fifth inning, we brought in Maya, and she had two strikeouts, one walk. We got into a little bit of a pickle there in the fourth where we were up 2-0, and then in the fourth, with some of the hits coming, we ended up getting down 4-2. So we made the change, and in the fifth, then we scored in both the bottom of the fifth and the bottom of the sixth. We scored four runs, respectively, in each of those innings. So that was pretty big. It ended up giving us a 10-5 win over BBE. We had nine hits on the day. Our leading hitters, Jalen Lee, was 2-for-2 with two walks. scoring four runs. Kayla Jan was 2-for-3 with 3 RBIs, scoring twice, also having a walk. Kendall Shelstead was 2-for-4, scoring 2 runs, 4 RBIs. And Kendall had, in the fifth, bottom of the fifth, when we were down 5-2, she had a monster 3-run home run that really sparked us. And we had scored a run prior to that, but it put us up 6-5 at the moment. And I was feeling pretty good about where things were at that time.
Yeah, Kendall's mom was sitting in front of me, and I think she jumped like 5 feet in the air. She got a good vertical there.
I believe that. You know, Liz is a leaper, so I might have done the same thing, and I'm not a leaper. So, that's Kendall's third home run on the season, and every time I try to get her to flex for me when she's running around third base, you know, and she just looks at me like I'm an idiot. So,
I wrote my book here. It's a timely hitting was important in that game.
It really was. I mean, and it is key at this particular point of the season when you get runners in scoring position. You know, can girls clutch up? And she did, and that was huge. And then that momentum carried us in the bottom of the sixth. We got 4 more, which gave us some nice insurance runs, and we just shut the door. So that was great. Brandy Meyer was 1-for-4 on the day. Claire Borsted didn't have a hit, but had an RBI and walked. Callie Kahn was 1-for-4. Val Piotr was 1-for-2. And Zoe Doctor did not have a hit, but scored a run. And Aiden Bond got in as a pinch runner for us and scored a run as well. So big win right there, and it allowed us to kind of freshen ourselves up a little bit and make the Final Four, which is a big feat and probably one of the toughest sections in the state. And so then it was on to see those Wabasso Rabbits. That is a game that concluded our season. It just, there was nothing that went well really there. We got down early, 8-0 in the first inning. Maya started pitching for us and just she just couldn't find the zone. Gave up 8 runs in that first inning. 4 of them were earned. Again, we had errors. We had 6 errors on the game. So her not finding the zone and defensively not getting it done, it was a recipe for disaster. But I told the girls after that inning, I just said, hang in there, because I felt like we could climb back into that game. And I know that's a big ask, down 8-0, but I really felt like our girls were going to time up their pitcher, and they did. You know, we ended up losing the game 11-4, but honestly, we had situations with the bases loaded, runners on second and third, just different pieces. And like you alluded to, Paul, the timely hits just didn't happen for us, but we did have opportunities to get back in the game. We brought Val into the game in the second inning. She did a nice job, too. She only gave up 3 runs for the rest of the 6 innings. I'm looking here. She gave up 3 runs. 2 of them were earned. She had 5 strikeouts and 3 walks. And so, you know, she kept us at bay where we needed to be. It's just that we just couldn't quite get the bats rolling, and the errors kind of kept deflating us a little bit. So, that was a tough one to go out on, because I felt like we can definitely play with Wabasso. And this might just be my confidence in our girls, but felt like maybe if we play 10 times, we might win more than half of those games, and it just didn't happen in this game. And then they went on to beat Southwest Christian, and it's just that pit in your stomach, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, and it is what it is. That's the game, I guess.
Yeah, the season comes to an abrupt halt, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and
it hurts, too.
Yeah, it does, and the nice thing is, for the most part, everybody's coming back. And so we're going to get to regroup. But, you know, for the seniors who end the year, who end their careers, it's just a sad moment. And it's a special moment because we've got Claire Borsted. She's our lone senior on the year. And I can't thank her enough for what she's meant to the program. to me, to my own daughter, just as a leader for a young kid, she's just a class act.
Yep.
And she really had a remarkable season for us. And people are saying, geez, you guys are going to be tougher than nails next year. And I hope that's the case. I really hope that we can come together, we can get better, we can keep growing over the summer. But losing Claire is a big piece. So we've got some young kids that are going to have to really go to work, step up, and be ready to fill in some pretty big shoes, because she had a pretty outstanding year, both defensively and offensively for us.
What I like about Claire, Scott, is, correct me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, Isabel Gertis was the catcher, and she couldn't catch because of her knee surgeries and stuff. And Claire's never caught before this year, right? I mean, Claire stepped into the catcher's role, and I've always said catching is probably one of the toughest positions in any sport. And she did a fantastic job at it.
It's huge. You know, Claire's mentality has been, what do you need from me? You know, how can I help the team? And she was an outfielder with our 2022 team that was in the section championship game. Last summer, she started pitching for us a little bit just in case she was needed. She's just been willing to do whatever is needed. And that's leadership. That's a teammate right there.
Yep.
And that's a kid that I want to coach any day of the year.
Right, right.
You know, somebody who's not in it for themselves, but they're in it for the team.
Right. Okay. Okay, Scott. I tell you what, let's take some time and talk about the whole team as a whole and the whole season. We'll wrap that up probably next Saturday. How about we do that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Scott, for the report this morning.
I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yep, Scott Sawatsky, head coach of the Lockapaw Valley softball team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
My name is Claire Borsted, and I'm a senior on the Lockapaw Valley softball team. Our team would like to thank the following home run sponsors: Lubbixing Tiling, Cargill, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholz Concrete, Clement Electric, Kibble Equipment, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Trigasted Pioneer Seed, Perry Sun Bank, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Blake and Roma Dineen Family, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Q92 FM Radio, Milan Legion Post number 359, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, Appleton Dental Care, Joe and Deb Schreier, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Golden Harvest Traeger Seeds, Appleton Area Health, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Egg Country, Zarbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Milan Community Foundation, and the Appleton Community Foundation. Thank you to all our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LKPV Dugout Club.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Another nice completion of the Culture Show when wrapping up seasons just about or going into section play. As the baseball team is, Paul and Bart are en route to Irish Stadium in Milroy to watch the baseball game today. That starts at noon, and that'll be on Q92. Along with the both golf teams are done as a team, but individuals, two in the girls and one in the boys. And track and field will be next Thursday and Friday at St. Michael Albertville High School. So, we'll close the show here with a couple of Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. Just remember, if you're up to it, up to your ears, just in whatever, if you are up to your ears, just remember to keep your mouth shut. And then second, whenever I try to eat healthy, a chocolate bar looks at me and snickers. So thanks for listening, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Fifty-eight here at Q92.
You're listening to 92.1 FM KLQP Madison Dawson, online at klqpfm.com.
Great music for Appleton, Holloway, Lewisburg, and Hentho right here on 92.1 FM Q92.
Well, the bop luna, she's my baby. Bop luna, I don't need my baby. Bop luna, she's my Well, she's the gal in the red blue jeans. She's the queen of all the teams. She's the woman that I know. She's the woman that loves.
This is KLQP Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
The next chapter is being written. I'm Pam Pusso, Fox News.
Former President Trump is moving forward after being found guilty on all charges in his hush money trial in New York City.
Former President Donald Trump promises to appeal, and here's how that will work. He'll have 30 days to do it after his sentencing hearing on July 11th. At Trump Tower, the former president criticized Judge Juan Merchan. He called Merchan a tyrant for imposing a gag order on him and refusing to allow the full testimony of former FEC Commissioner Brad Smith.
We're going to be appealing it on many different things. He wouldn't allow us to have witnesses. He wouldn't allow us to talk. He wouldn't allow us to do anything. The judge was a tyrant.
The deadline for post-trial motions is in under 2 weeks, but Trump's attorneys indicate one of their reasons for appeal is a perception of Merchan's bias.
Fox's Nate Foy. Jury selection begins Monday in the case against President Biden's son, Hunter, who is facing federal gun.
Hunter Biden's life will change Monday when jury selection kicks off in his federal trial. We now know some of the evidence that will be presented during trial. Special Counsel David Weiss's team will introduce parts of the Hunter Biden laptop as evidence, which Hunter's lawyers fought to exclude. We don't know yet which parts, though. Remember, this is the same laptop that 51 former intelligence officials touted as having all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. It wasn't, and the special counsel's office wrote, the defendant's laptop is real. It will be introduced as a trial exhibit, and it contains significant evidence of the defendant's guilt.
That's Fox's David Spunt. Marian Robinson, the mother of former First Lady Michelle Obama, has died. In a post on X, Michelle Obama said her mother was a steady backstop for the entire family. She was 86 years old. America's listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Bright sunshine expected today, with daytime highs approaching 78. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 57 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance of thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 79. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday, with daytime highs approaching 82. 81, thunderstorms likely Tuesday. Taking a look at the extended forecast, 77 Wednesday, 75 Thursday, and 77 on Friday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Q92 Country. Right now, it's 68 degrees.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
Trust Kerry Harding of Southwest Insurance Services in Canby and Grinnell Mutual to look forward on your livelihood. We understand you have a lot at stake in your small business. That's why we offer specialized insurance coverages so you can take care of business. Find the coverages you need to fit your company's operations so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact Kerry Harding, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at 507-223-7248 today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Hoover Law Office and Mediation Center, located at 677 Pine Street in Dawson, is a full-service law firm providing legal services in family law, real estate, criminal defense, bankruptcy, probate, and estate planning. If you are in need of legal counsel, call our office at 320-769-2150 to set up an appointment to meet with Attorney Doug Kluver, or you can check us out online at kluverlaw.com. You can rely on Kluver Law Office and Mediation Center to continue to be your local full-service law firm and provide professional and prompt legal services.
It's time for the Q92 Entertainment Calendar. A good way to find out what's happening at some of the fun spots and fine dining establishments around our Q92 listening area. If you're looking for a great place to have lunch, check out the specials every Monday through